Freedom. Through. Brace. Bible. Study lesson number 19. July 5th, 2009. I'm sorry, I'm trying to check the equipment to make sure this thing is working right. Still adjusting to new equipment that we have. I apologize for that to you tapers, but it's not easy. We try to do it. We're dealing with the concept of what freedom is all about. God's laws of divine establishment for temporal living. The things that he has set aside to deal with the issues of freedom in the world. To preserve a system of law and order within the whole system of the Adamic human race. Not just for the sake of law, but for the provision of providing justice to the people. Many times have I quoted you the verse that said those Jews to Jesus which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. We're commanded to render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Romans 13, 7. Paying the price of honor. Connie Clark in the foreword written to the Service, Sacrifice, and Loyalty Guarding Freedom Flame book in 1992 wrote, "The heritage of freedom is etched in the souls of America's people. American soldiers have responded to the call and shed their blood on the battlefields of Yorktown, Antietam, Cuba, the Philippines at the Second Battle of the Marne, in France on the shores of Normandy's Korea, Tsinshan Peninsula, Vietnam, Mekong Delta. Claim more of our sons and daughters, Lebanon, Quemoy, Grenada, and Panama also extracted a high human price for freedom. Since then, we could add so many other places as this book came out. Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, think of free, of three, and many other places in the world. Our study is dedicated to all of the men and women who were killed in all of our nation's wars, from the colonial wars to the present wars in defense of freedom. You and I might learn to think and understand, appreciate freedom, and have an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in a grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen. We must learn to walk with God, trusting God in all that we do, keeping our eyes upon him, trusting the Lord with all our heart, and lean not thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. The dedication of the people who've laid down their lives for freedom comes from the whole concept of John 15:13, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. I also have dedicated this series to a small group of pastor teachers who, without regard for public opinion and political correctness, have faithfully taught the meat of the Word of God throughout our nation's history and therefore created and sustained the spiritual heritage that we have. So many pastors that I know, friends of mine, acquaintances of mine, whatever you want to call it, are so busy playing games, running churches. They're managing churches instead of teaching the Word of God. Programs, trying to figure out a way to get people to stay together and hold on to local church buildings and organizations. Well, their hearts are into evangelism and things like that, but they're not committed to training up their people to fight in the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict. 2 Timothy 4:1-2, says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We also have dedicated this study to every believer in a nation's history who has advanced to spiritual maturity, defended the faith, that is the whole counsel of God, without regard for public opinion and political correctness. And therefore, through blessing by association, had personal impact on the history of our nation. 2 Timothy 2:15, studies show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians 6:10-12, find that brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also the commitment of studying and teaching. Now therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For we need bold Christian warriors, just as we needed bold men on the field of combat, always have and always will, to defend the freedoms of our nation. One of my heroes in life was a man who I know little about. I know enough about him. He was involved in the attempt to liberate Cuba from Spanish tyranny. When he was captured, 16th day of August, 1851, Captain W.H. Crittenden, whose last words were written down as a testimony and became a testimony when his prisoner of war was ordered to kneel before his Spanish captors to be shot. He stood there and looked at him and said, America kneels only to his God and faces the enemy. They shot him standing up, I understand. He refused to kneel down. Murder him as a tied-up prisoner of war, yes. Making him bend, no. You and I are living in the intense period of the spiritual warfare and the angelic force conflict, the forces of Satan. The old devil are at war with members of the mystical body of Christ. Remember that Satan, also known as Lucifer and the devil, the dragon, the old serpent, as the prince ruler of the world system, uses his satanic control nations and his satanic world policy to intervene in history to interfere with the true mission of the body of Christ by attacking God the Father's laws of divine establishment for temporal living. Every believer is called to be a soldier in the Royal Army of God. The verses I just quoted to you, 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, what out the soldier's part, 1 and 2, the training to go first, with Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. We contend for the faith, the whole counsel of God, which has been delivered through divine revelation. Jude chapter 1, and there is only one chapter in the book of Jude. Verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Acts 20:27. For I am not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Stand on the whole counsel of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, we quoted to you so often, both the King James translation and our doctrinal translation. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. But of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That, of course, is the King James translation. And 2 Peter 1:19-21. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as to the light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts. So in this verse, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the whole Bible study series is to provide Bible doctrine information to you believers on practical theology, the doctrine of the laws of divine establishment for temporal living. from the perspective of a believer living in the dispensation of the grace of God the Father, the age of the local church, so that you as a believer can be an effective soldier in the royal army of God, defend the faith against this philosophical enemy, have spiritual impact upon your nation, our nation, whatever nation you live in, and bring material life blessings by association to your nation. Brigadier General William N. Pendleton, Confederate States Army, said, "He who notes the fall of the sparrow holds in my hands my life on the battlefield as everywhere else." Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, in his book Tortured for Christ, published in 1967, said, "Persecution is not, never will be, foreign to the church on this earth." We need to wake up and be prepared to meet the test of life that are before us. Before we begin the actual pickup in our studies this morning in the class, having given the introduction, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity for the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. In the last class, we read you from Vincent Godfrey Burns, Poet Laureate of Maryland's book, The Story of Old Glory, which printed on the cover, he put the words of a poem this great poet had written, of a little verse of a poem which said, "Americans, awake, arise, and read your destiny in the skies, this message written stars above to stir your patriotic love." What he put together was a book, The History of America, in great poetry. But inside, in the introduction, I read you where he described that during the dark days of World War II, when the surrender of Bataan was imminent, a small band of American soldiers resolved they would rather die than surrender. Many of them didn't have an opportunity to. I remember knowing a number of survivors of the Bataan death march out of the small group, partly because of my association with American ex-prisoners of war. Now, from my longtime friend Bryce Litta, whose memorial service I preached a number of years ago now with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the survivors of that, they didn't have an opportunity to escape. He'd been Army Air Corps, turned into an infantryman, a rifle in his hand, wounded the head. Not seriously, but problems that came with it, all down there. But as Mr. Burns had recorded, somehow through countless hardships, by narrow escapes and in daily peril of their lives, they got through the Jap line safely, escaped to the Zambales Mountains and Luzon. There, for 3 long years of war, they managed to exist, living on berries and wild fruits and occasional food. Loyal Filipinos smuggled to them at the risk of torture and death. Where those American soldiers carried with them in the Zambales Mountains the American flag, old glorious colors of the 26th Cavalry. The American patriots, when days were clear and the enemy unwatchful, unfurled their symbol of liberty and lay there in the hills, renewing their dedication to the land they loved. When others were liberated, they made their way through the battle lines and presented the colors of the 26th Cavalry to General Douglas MacArthur. Through 3 years of Japanese occupation, that flag had never been hauled down. There were tears in MacArthur's eyes. He accepted the flag, and strong men broke down and wept as the bearded, battle-scarred veterans came through the lines with their precious flag. Others presented at the ceremony said the emotion, those present ceremonies said the emotion of patriotism generated by the heroism of that handful of brave men shook everyone who witnessed it to the marrow of the bone. He was on to point out the communists in the crowd that tries to smother all investigation of communist subversion probably would call such a thrilling exploit chauvinistic flag waving. And we'd like to see what would happen if they called it that in the presence of those gallant soldiers. Today we could send with our war on terror those who are the bleeding hearts, the enemies of our country, a fanatical Islam front, Al-Qaeda, for the rest. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, so the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We introduced you and point out to you again and review the Codex One as creation law from God. Creation law. God set up, first of all, his laws of divine establishment for temporal being in the material world. Creation law is the basis for the Father's system for function order throughout the universe. It relates to animate and inanimate objects and consists of all natural scientific law, Genesis 1:1-19. Secondly, biological human life is God's system for function order of the physical body. Third is psychological human life is God's system for function order in the human soul. Biological life is found in Genesis 2:7a and psychological life in Genesis 2:7b, as the actual Hebrew says, that God breathed into man the breath of lives, plural there, both. Biological life, psychological life, and he was born with spiritual life. The 15th codex, which you've had many times, is individuality, volition, plus privacy, plus responsibility, plus property rights, plus accountability, is God's system of personal freedom for each individual member of the Adamic human race, both believers and unbelievers. Genesis 1:27. You say, I'm tired of hearing this. Well, it's important for everything we're going into. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And they're all in his own image. In the image of the body he designed for the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1 tells us. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Lord Jesus Christ, the body was designed for him by the Father, who is the author of the eternal plan of the ages. Having designed the body for Christ, he then made the issue for Adam, whose body was a copy of the body of Christ, was to have. Genesis 2:8-20, we see the whole program of individuality. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that was pleasing in the sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of a knowledge of good and evil. Now the rivers flowed out of the Eden to water the garden, and there were divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon, that flows from the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold is of that land is good. The Delium and the onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Reading from the NASV. All right, we immediately see volition. Adam is free to eat of anything that he wants to eat of in the garden. We have privacy. God has placed him in the garden, verse 15, but the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. We have responsibility, verse 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat of it, from it you shall surely die. Literally in the Hebrew, dying, thou shalt surely die. we find here God has given four areas of responsibility to Adam. Cultivate the garden, keep it, that is, guard it, shamar in the Hebrew, S-H-A-M-A-R, meaning to guard, military guarding. Protect his sanctity, to eat his fruits except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but apparently including the fruits of the tree of life, because it says that God had placed in the middle of the garden the tree of life. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God has created and prepared for man soul life, so man can think for himself, reason, and understand. Then said the Lord God, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sea, the skies, and brought them to the man, and said to him, what do you call them? Whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. What a principle, each member of the human race possesses both a body and a soul, and is therefore an individual person with certain individual rights. The fifth codex is marriage, one man and one woman in union, in unity. The unity that comes together is God's basic system to provide societal order and stability and procreation of the human race. This is 127b. Alright, 27-28, God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply there. What does it say in verse there? Multiply, producing family, procreation, all right? Genesis 2, 21 to 25. All right, we found that pets are not the answer in verse 20. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him, verse 21 to 25. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned the woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought him to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Here we find the unity of the marriage, the intimacy, including sexual intimacy between the husband and his wife. God has sanctified and blessed the marriage bed. Codex 17 is the family, the husband, the wife, the child, and the children, or children, is God's basic system to provide societal order, stability, and child raising in the human race. And this is 128a. Again, God blessed them, and God said them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. With Genesis chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 20, yes. Now the man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. God next determined. Codex 7, individual sovereign national entities are God's basic system to provide societal order, stability, and protect the individual citizen nation from internal and external danger. Genesis 1, 28b. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Adam was appointed the prince regent of the earth under the Lord Jesus Christ, God. who at that time was still had not taken his human body and nature through hypostatic union, but he was the eternal Son, God the Son. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I've given you the doctrinal translation, the beginning was the Logos, that's the Greek word, the Word, or Word. And the Word was with God, that's God the Father, the Word was God the Son. The same was in the beginning with the triune Godhead. Along with the passage we read you earlier in Colossians chapter 1. Christ was in charge. Adam was underneath him. But then after the fall of Adam, things changed. Man lived in the concept under God, but Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden by the Lord Jesus Christ, not by Satan. Satan did not fall coup d'etat there. Satan's coup d'etat over the world system came when Cain submitted to Satan, the oldest son of Adam. Cain set up the world system described in Genesis chapter 4 there. Set them up for his family line, serving Satan, having abandoned God, going into religious humanism to secular humanism, and then went back to a religious humanistic system of man. When God designed after the flood, he clearly set the boundaries of organization for the world, for nations, for the remainder, the Adamic human race. Till Jesus, when Jesus Christ comes again, this world will still be divided into individual nations. There will be movements. There will be a great, tremendous attempt at new one world order, but it will not have completely succeeded. It will be on the battlefields of the Middle East, described in Daniel chapter 11, Revelation, Zechariah, many other passages. The Antichrist will have come out of Europe, leading his satanic-inspired forces to conquer the Middle East. But Satan is not omnipotent. Other fallen angels will have influenced the great thing. There will have been one who will have arisen in Iraq, called the Assyrian, who will unite the forces of the king of the north and the king of the south, which is Egypt, and Assyria is the king of the north, dictator of the north at that time, and the king of the south, the dictator, will be Egypt. They will have assembled there. To fight for Jerusalem, fighting the Antichrist for the spoils of Jerusalem, united with the man who comes out of the east, who will claim to be a reincarnation of Muhammad the Assyrian. This is a large branch of Islam that waits for the second coming, as they call it, of Muhammad, just as we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ as Christians who believe the Bible. Muhammad cannot come again because only Jesus Christ is the God-Man, has risen from the dead with victory over death. But they will believe that this man is him. And out of the east will come four kings, with an army of 200 million demon-possessed people, as we interpret Revelation. Four kings will be indwelt by four fallen angels, who are today, according to Revelation, bound in a special prison just for the four of them, in solitary confinement underneath the Euphrates River. They will undoubtedly come back claiming to be the gods of air, earth, fire, and water. Four pagan gods of pantheism. And they will unite the pantheistic, polytheistic world of the Far East. And these demon-possessed people, army will follow them. And they will come for the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ will destroy them at Armageddon when he returns at his second advent, and he will set up the world still on a sovereign nation system. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 2, we read, the sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog, and Madal and Javan and Tubal and Meshach and Tyrus. Verse 5, from these the coastlines of the nations were separated in their lands, every one according to his language, according to their families, according to their nations. You will notice God created nations on the basis of one language, originally a family relation, a racial relationship, and geographical borders. Verse 20. These are the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their native language, by their lands, by their nation. Verse 31 and 32. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, by their lands, according to their nation. These are the families of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, by their nations, and out of these the nations were separated on the earth after the flood. God created and established the nations of the earth. His plan was perfect and unchangeable. God divided the nations of the earth. The laws of divine establishment for temporal living are designed to provide order and stability in the Adamic human race and therefore applicable to believers and unbelievers alike. My friend Bryce Lilly was an unbeliever when he survived the Bataan Death March. He spent all those years in the prisoner of war camps doing slave labor when he was on the death ship that they hauled the bodies up from the hole. They couldn't even. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far and from the end of the earth, as swift as eagle flieth a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. I'm sorry. I've got the wrong passage there. I apologize. What I wanted was Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. I do make mistakes. I'm not perfect. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God always intended for Israel to have a place in the land, and they will have a place in the land, and Jesus Christ will give it to them, guarantee it to them at the second advent. The laws of divine establishment for temporal living, then, are designed to provide order and stability in the Adamic race and therefore applicable to believers and to unbelievers alike. Original sin polluted the human race. Genesis 3, 1-19, with Romans 1, 18-25. Sin into this world. Sin and evil. It began with attack on the truth of the Word of God. The truth, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. Bible doctrine. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. The Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. He called God a liar. And when we're looking at individuality, I didn't emphasize it to you this morning. So let's look back for a minute. We point out to you that God gave Adam volition. He gave him privacy. He gave him responsibility for making good decisions. We saw that, the privacy of his own soul. He gave him property rights because he placed him in the Garden of Eden. The property rights are reflected in a number of other things there, the rivers representing water and the value of water. We've dealt with that before. The gold representing precious metals, the delium representing tree saps and all the valuable things that come from plant life. The onyx stones representing precious gems, the value of diamonds, emeralds, whatever they may be, the precious gems and things to show the intrinsic value of the systems that God placed upon the earth. The trees of the garden themselves represent agricultural value for property rights. Adam was put in charge of all the animals, showing man's right to own, domesticate, and utilize for food or for whatever. Now, Adam was not told specifically to eat of meat. He was told to eat fruit. It does not say he could not eat meat. It does not say his body could not digest meat. People have taught that. That's eisegeted into it. It said that God gave him the fruits, which meant fruit and vegetables to eat. It's obviously from studying Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and the raising of the herds and stuff that man before the flood was eating meat. This was pagan man. But as Dr. Zeiss, famous dispensational Lutheran theologian of the late 19th century, pointed out, Nowhere in Scripture does God say, thou shalt absolutely not eat meat. He says, I will give you the fruits to eat. Man had volition to choose, and I'm not saying that man was supposed to eat meat at that point of time. Don't misunderstand me. He did not need meat as he does today. Meat eating today is very important for the counteracting of demonism. All vegetarianism in the world system comes out of religious systems that are anti-God, created in demonism, and he seeped in it, and Christians do not understand that. They completely fail to understand what God has said. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. All right, the attacks upon marriage. This may be to promote homosexuality and lesbianism, or it may be just to promote a promiscuous society where marriage, the institution of marriage, is not necessary. Commanding to abstain from meats. Be a vegetarian. Don't eat meat. The meats, and what does it say about meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The sisters were there for the values of what they had, but then Adam was given accountability. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Accountability. In Genesis chapter 3, we find Lucifer, Satan, the old serpent, the devil, appearing and tempting them, telling Eve, did God tell you you couldn't have anything to eat? And the woman said, the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat. I think Adam had been eating there for about 1,900 years and Eve for about 900 years. I've explained that before. You don't have to believe it, because I believe Adam passed the test of the law of individuality. He would fail the test of marriage. I think they had to have been there 700-800 years at least before they settled into complacency. Eve would have been as fascinated with the new world around her as Adam was. It's only when we get settled down and get in the comfort zones of life that we often take everything for granted. The woman answers Eve. She's instructing him and teaching. Now, Adam is the one who is the Bible teacher appointed by God, but Eve is instructing him. But then she says, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Now, first of all, the tree in the middle of the garden is not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice verse 9, chapter 2. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing for sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that was in the actual center of the garden, was the tree of life. But she's got her focus on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so she thinks it's the center of the garden, though it's all center. They're opposite each other, obviously. She probably sat down, propped up against the tree, her back against the tree of life, and stared at the tree she wasn't allowed to eat at. That probably where Satan found her, where she'd been for days off and on, sitting there cogitating, oh, why can't I eat of this tree? How come I have everything else? I've tasted everything else. I've tried everything else, and here's something I haven't tried, forbidden fruit. Then she added to it, first she said it was in the middle, when it was just off-center, it was not in the exact middle. God had made that clear. Secondly, she added the words, to you shall not eat of it, to you shall not touch it. God never said they couldn't touch it. In the Scripture, he said, the day you eat thereof, dying thou shalt surely die, not the day you touch it. J. Vernon McGee said God used to toss it around like a ball. Wouldn't have bothered him at all if they had done that play, but it showed they had no interest in it. But they became occupied with it. The serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. And this is why I don't believe this was the first conversation between them. I think that God, the Holy Spirit, had Moses take it, bring down into one a whole period of time. I don't think it had the stupidity of man thinks Adam was created at 6 o'clock in the morning, Eve at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they send at 3 o'clock, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something. It's ridiculous. Satan calls God a liar. You shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, all right, that was easy. Probably the birds or the squirrels or something were eating it, and that it was a light to the eyes. It was very beautiful fruit. The tree was desirable to make one wise. Now, this is something she couldn't see. This is something that Satan put an idea into her head. She took of the fruit and ate it, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. But the eyes of both them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. All right, sin entered into the world. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking. Okay, the human good was their operation, human good. They covered themselves with fig leaves. We don't have time to go into all of this. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves. All right, here we come to accountability. They were afraid. They hid themselves. Why? Because responsibility was to make good decisions up front. Accountability is we reap what we sow. Now, we've all made poor decisions. We've all got involved in sin. Christ told the ones who brought the woman taking adultery to him, that he is without sin, cast the first stone, and they all left. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not one. Does this mean we condone sin? We promote sin? We give sin permissiveness? No. But it means we need to be careful when we go around judging others. Judge not that you be not judged. We turn them over to the Lord Jesus Christ because we're all sinners. We're either sinners saved by grace or sinners lost and on the road to hell. There is no in between. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They hid themselves. Then the Lord God called a man and said to him, where are you? God sought Adam. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Adam evidently didn't answer. He said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Adam evidently didn't answer. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then he does answer. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the Lord said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done as cursed you are before, more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly shall you go, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. You shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desires shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you, toil you shall eat of it. It was hard work to survive all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Man fell into original sin. Romans 1. Total depravity entered into the human race. Adam spiritually died. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known which God is evident within them. For God made it evident in them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their futile hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature, that's man, or Satan, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When they followed Satan, they began to worship him. The indictment now in verses 26 to the end of the chapter is there, as man's degenerating down into immoral degeneracy. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, is man under moral degeneracy. In chapter 2, verses 17 to 29, is man under religious degeneracy. Man without God goes into one of these three areas. He may overlap to some extent. He may be religious and commit immoral acts. He may be immoral and try to seek religion or try to clean his act up by doing something good. God gave them over, as found in verse 24, 26, and 28. We have here then God's indictment of the world, showing why man needs the righteousness of God. Man is condemned because truth was given to him in verses 19 and 20, and because by his actions he rejected it. Verses 21 to 25, Adam and Eve rejected God when he can sin. Then we find immoral sins. But in chapter 2, verse 1, we have God's condemnation. Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For then when you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you practice do the same thing. Verse 12 to 14, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged under the law. For it is not the hearers of the law which are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. When Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, and that they show their work of the law written in their hearts and conscience, hearing witness in their thoughts, alternately accusing or else defending them. The consciousness of man that God holds on to in man, man did not lose his conscience. That is the one attribute that relates us to God that man holds on to. The only solution to Adam's original sin is salvation. Genesis 3:21. Lord God made garments of the skins for Adam and his wife and clothed them. With John 3:1-18, that old familiar passage. When Nicodemus came by night to talk to God, did he come by night because he was fear of the Sanhedrin? Some believe that, others believe it was because he was so busy during the day as a responsible man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. Some believe that he was the brother of Josephus, the great Greek historian. He perfectly represents the aristocratic, well-intended, but unenlightened Judaism of his day. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born, literally born again from above. Same phrase is used in John 3:31 and John 19:11. To be born again and to be born again from above is translated born again correctly in Galatians 4:9. Both ideas emerge into John's gospel and combine in the translation be born anew, be born again from above. The new birth or regeneration described in Titus 3:5 is the act that God gives eternal life to the one who believes in Christ. As a result, he becomes a member of God's family. 1 Peter 1:23. A new capacity and desire to please the Heavenly Father is established in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now I'd be amazed as I say to you, remember, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The various interpretations have been presented for being born of the water. Some claim it refers to baptismal regeneration as a necessity for salvation, but this is contradicted immediately by Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Secondly, that it stands for the act of repentance that John the Baptist signified, the word repentance. To repent means to have a change of mental attitude, to recognize that we are lost, everything is not going all right, we won't make it down the road, that we need a Savior, and to come to see that Christ is the only Savior is what it means, the one that we must believe in. Now, the water also can typify the fact that it represents the natural verse, specifically the fluid released when the amniotic sac breaks prior to labor. Got my tongue twisted on amniotic. Thus, it means unless one is born of the first time by water and the second time by the Spirit. But the true meaning can be seen very clearly, the full meaning of it, I should say. These all may be seen in the typology of what's there and be latent in it, but the full meaning is seen in John 15, verse 3, where Scripture defines Scripture the way it should define Scripture. You're also clean because the word which I have spoken to you, the word, is the thing which cleans us. Also in Ephesians. Chapter 5. Verse 26 we read, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Or cleansed by the washing of the water with the word. Back to John 3, verse 9, where we left off. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel? Do you understand these things? The word for wind in verse 2, the wind blows where it wishes, is the Greek word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, meaning both wind and spirit. The Holy Spirit must convict. All who are saved are called by the Father, drawn by the Son, convicted, wooed by the Spirit. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen. And you do not accept our testimony. If I told you of earthly things, you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one is ascended into heaven, but he who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. The deeds were evil, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. He who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought of God. Eternal life, a new quality of life. Not just an everlasting of this life we have here. It begins the whole concept of a new and quality life. The life with God, all right? The law of individuality, the laws of individuality, marriage, family, and individual sovereign national entities are designed to place limitations on sin, therefore to provide order and stability in the world system. When personal freedom is allowed to operate without restraint, it produces anarchy in society. When national entities are allowed to operate without restraint, they produce tyranny in society. The divine laws of marriage and family are designed to produce a balance in society between the exercise of personal freedom and the exercise of government. It's important for us to get the full meaning of what we have. The scripture is full of the supernatural world. The only cure for the materialism that we face this present day is for you and I to discuss out and find out what true spirituality is all about. There is but one step from the natural world to the spirit world. The dividing veil is our fleshly bodies. The heavenlies are people with spirit beings that are around us. We don't see these spirit beings. These spirit beings have nothing in direct relationship to us, but we need to understand who we are as the individual person. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick, it is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. This is the body, separating the soul, the spirit, from the body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Around us is the angelic conflict world, and Satan is busy using the evils of this world that he has created and generated for the purpose of trying to destroy mankind. And you and I need to learn to understand it. Scripture teaches us of two representative men. The first is called Adam, and the second is called the last Adam. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. So this is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a living spirit. The second man, the last Adam, verse 47 said, the first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. He comes out of heaven. He is the Lord of heavens. This identifies him with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam is charged with bringing sin in the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed into all men for all of sin, Romans 5:12. The last Adam came to reverse what the first Adam did, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. He came to put away sin. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been made manifest to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once for all, the first coming of Christ is a consummation of the ages given there, the concept of what it was. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more, they which receive abundance of grace and are of a gift of righteousness shall reign by life, and life by one Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. We need to understand the first Adam. After the earth had been restored from its formless and void, as we've seen, in conditions of reconstruction, the air, the sea, the earth were repopulated with bird, fish, and life, we read. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image, and image of God created he him, male and female created them. From this we see that man is created a being that he made in the image of God, not in the image of an ape. There is no such thing as evolution. I heard on the news yesterday, July 4th, that they say they found the original particle in the Big Bang theory, as they call it. Where did the particle come from? God is the creator of all things, not some particle. We're not formed in the image of an ape or a brute beast, but we were. The body of Adam was constructed out of the dust of the earth. There is impassable gulf between the lowest order of man and the highest type of beast. Science cannot bridge it. The missing link has never been found. It never will be found. The whole human race is one species with a common origin, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made from one man every nation from mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries and habitations. You will notice that God goes from man, which is one species, to nations, which he has divided up upon the earth for man. This becomes the key of understanding what God has done. We have a common origin. This is clear from the fact that when different races of the earth inhabit and intermarry, their offspring are not sterile but fertile. There are no contradictions between the first and second chapters of Genesis 2 as the creation of man. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 gives the fact of his creation. The second, Genesis 2, 7, the matter of it. One is supplementary to the other. In Genesis 2, 7, we're told the Lord God formed, fashioned man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, nashama, and he became a living soul. From this we see that the creation of man was threefold: the formation of body, the impartation of the spirit, and the unification of the two through the soulish part of man. This is where we'll pick up under the laws of individuality in the next class, where body and soul are brought together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We pray that people will come to learn the true meaning of freedom by coming to understand themselves in this day and age where people are burning out on post-traumatic stress and all the problems, suicide, alcoholism, drug addiction. God, have mercy upon us and our nation, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.